Father of all glory and all righteousness, we come before you, Lord, and we humbly kneel before you as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of the Most High God. You have shown grace and mercy to your people. You have poured out blessings in abundance, and you have walked with us through the hard times and through times of joy. Lord, we rely on you. We look to you for grace and mercy. Lord, now as we open up your word, we ask that you give your servants strength in the proclamation of that word. We ask that you be with us as children who hear this word, that we may listen with intent ears, Lord, that we may hear what you have to say to us this morning, and that we may rejoice in the God of our salvation and his words to his people. Forgive us for the sins that we have committed even this day, O Lord. Remove from us the worries and the anxieties of this world, that our minds may be focused on what is being said. Lord, we ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Turn with me now to the book of Jude. I heard in the council room this morning that this is the third time that this text has been preached, so I hope it's not getting old to the congregation. But I don't believe that the Word of God can ever get old. We will read the first 11 verses from the book of Jude. And if you notice some differences, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version this morning. It's very similar to the New King James Version. But hear the word of our God. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you were once fully knew it, that Jesus who saved a people out of Egypt afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perish in Korah's rebellion. So far the reading of God's holy word. But the word of our God endures forever. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some of you may remember the war in Europe. Some of you may even have lived through that war. We have seen many wars being fought on many battles. And even within our lifetime, we have seen Vietnam, the Desert Storm, and now even in the Middle East, there is a war raging. And this is a war that has become known as a war against terror. But there has been a war raging for the last 6,000 years, and you are combatants in this war. This is a war in which we must take our training seriously. We must never fall down and become lax in our preparation for battle. We see this. There is fear that is brought in to our community. Propaganda is spoken. And we see this when there is talk of Al-Qaeda sleeper cells being among us, where there are enemy that infiltrate us. Jude wrote this letter just a few years before the fall of Jerusalem, and it is not specifically addressed to any single congregation as we see in the book of Romans or the book of Corinthians or the Philippians. Which congregation this letter was written to is not exactly known. But at the time that this letter was written, Jude understood that false teaching was creeping into the church. And he was familiar with the people that he was preaching to. This is seen in the way he addresses them. He is also aware, and he understands the wicked men that have creeped into the church. He sees them, he knows them, he can recognize them. Heresies were being spread throughout the church, and there were many undiscerning Christians who were being led away from the true gospel. And in the verses that we will consider this morning, we hear Christ calling the church to battle. And we see in that 3 points, we are to fight in humility, we are to fight with determination, and we are to fight by necessity. We are to fight in humility, with determination, and by necessity. Jude addresses himself to the church as a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, we all understand that James was the more celebrated of the brothers. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. James and Jude were both half-brothers of Jesus. These are the same brothers who it is written of in John 7, verse 5, which says, even his own brothers didn't believe in him. But now his brothers understand who Christ is. Neither of them greets the church, though, as we are brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, they don't do that. James and Jude both understand this is our Lord and our God, and they humble themselves before their God and the Redeemer, just as their own mother had done. And then Jude, in writing this letter, he demonstrates he has a fondness for expressing his thoughts in 3 points. He gives 3 inferences to the church, 3 reasons for God's children to look to him as they struggle through this battle. First, he says they are called. Jude is writing to those people who have been adopted by the Father. They are children of the Most High God. But what does it mean to be called? Jude is writing to those who have been called internally. These are people who the Holy Spirit has done a work in their hearts, and their eyes have been opened, and they understand their position and their union in Christ. Brothers and sisters, there is great comfort in these words, because by knowing that you are called by God, you understand that you have direct access to the throne on high. You have direct access to the Father who has adopted you. We have an unbroken relationship with him. God has called you, and he will also give you the strength that is needed to fight this battle. The perseverance of the saints is possible only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of Romans 8, verse 30. Those whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Brothers and sisters, those whom he called, he has already glorified. We are glorified now. Even now we are seated in heavenly places with our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 to 15, we read, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude then goes on to say that the next point that he brings out are those who are loved by God the Father. Jude is speaking to those who are loved now already. God in his love is unconditional. God's love is even better than unconditional. It is an all-encompassing love. It is a life-saving love. It is a love that drags us from the miry pit of death and places us on royal thrones as a royal nation. God calls his children, and those children that he calls, he loves and he embraces. And there is nothing that will drag us away from the love of God. He sets them apart for his glory. They are to worship and adore him forever. God has set his church apart from the world and places his love on these people, and he will never abandon these people. God in his love has set up battlements around his people, and the enemy cannot break through. Satan and all his minions have no power over the people of God to penetrate those walls of love. Along with being called and being loved by God, Jude then speaks to those who are preserved in Christ, those who are protected by Christ. What is he saying here? He is saying that we are surrounded by Christ. Christ is our battle wall. Christ himself stands guard and protects the people of God. If any of you have ever been in the military or ever served any time in the military, you will understand that there are times where you have to stand guard duty. And this is a very critical position because you are the first line of defense. You are the warning for your troops in the back. When the enemy comes, you sound the alarm. And if you are on exercise in a time of peace and you fall asleep during guard duty, you will end up in cells. But if it is a time of war and you fall asleep, you will be shot. That is how serious that position is. But we have a Savior who stands guard for us, who never sleeps, who never is his mind that is wandering. He stands guard and he knows exactly when the enemy is coming, and he is our protection. He is the one who stands before us. Jude addresses the spiritual warriors of God's army. God's soldiers are the recipients of all his blessings, mercy, peace, and love. Like the Apostle Peter, Jude proclaims and he wants these special blessings for God's soldiers to be multiplied in their lives. He wants the Spirit to pour out these blessings on God's people in abundance. God in his mercy does not give us what we deserve. Because if we are honest with ourselves, we know that we deserve the fires of hell. But that is not what God gives to those children whom he calls. Instead, he places the punishment that we deserve on his own dear son. On the cross, Christ wore what we should have wore. He took the pain and the suffering that we deserve. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. For battle-weary soldiers, Jude prays for mercy, peace, and love. Mercy. Mercy is God's compassionate care for struggling saints who in a time of conflict and stress are weary and need that mercy. And then he speaks of peace. Peace for the people of God. Peace is the stillness and confidence that comes from a dependence on God's word, from looking above our circumstances to the one who holds our circumstances in his hands and who leads us through those circumstances for his glory. and love. Jude prays for love for the people of God. Love is that unmerited embrace of God for his dear people. And this is a love that we are not selfish with. This is a love that we do not keep to ourselves. But this is a love that must be radiated in our lives and must be shared with everybody we come in contact to. This is a love that must be shared for those people who are seeking. This is the love that is the light that stands on a hill. Brothers and sisters, God does not enlist a reserve force. These are not part-time soldiers, or as they are called, weekend warriors. No, this is not an army of volunteers. This is a specially chosen force, a specially chosen soldiers. And these soldiers, you as soldiers, have been equipped with the most powerful weapon that this world will ever see. You have been equipped with the most powerful weapon this world will ever see. And the mind of man cannot create a more powerful weapon. The Word of God. You have been given the Word of God. The question is not, will I join up? Will I become a soldier? The question is, will I be a loyal soldier? We just sang, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Jude has addressed the troops. We see that it is not by our own strength that we fight this battle, but it is only through the strength and protection of our God and our Redeemer, that we are able to fight this battle. And it is this for this reason that we are humbled. It is for this reason that we fight in humility. It is not of us. It is all of our God and all of his strength that he gives to us. Because if it was left up to us, we would be annihilated. We would be overrun and the enemy would take over. But it is not. It is all of God. And for that reason, we are humbled. We fight the battle that not only is outside of the church. We fight the battle that is also within the church. And that is why we need to fight with determination. In verse 3, Jude explains a very interesting turn of events. He had originally intended to write this letter to the church, talking to them about their common salvation. Salvation that we share in Jesus Christ. He says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. You see, Jude has a pastor's heart. He wants to edify his congregation. He wants to build them up. Is it not true that when we hear sermons on salvation, on the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, our hearts are lifted? You have heard of comfort food. That's food that your mom makes, and then you are reminded, yeah, I'm home. I'm home. These are my favorite meals. I'm home. And Thanksgiving is coming up, and I'm sure that many of us are looking forward to that time where Mom will cook the turkey for us and that we will sit down and we will know, we will sit around that table and we will know that we are home with the ones that we love. Well, for the people of God, when they hear sermons on salvation, that is comfort food for the soul. But time doesn't allow for that right now. No, there are other matters that need to be addressed. We will talk about our salvation at another time, but not now. Now there is a time that needs to be taken seriously. Jude was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Even though he wanted to edify his people, he saw that there was a need and he addressed that need. I found it necessary to write to you to contend for the faith earnestly. For the faith was once delivered for all the saints. This couldn't wait. There was a problem that needed to be addressed. The same pastor who speaks words of comfort to the people of God also needs to be a watchman on the gate. He needs to be in constant scanning the horizon for the dangers that attack God's people. Brothers and sisters, when there's a fox in the henhouse, the farmer hears that fox. He doesn't say, "I'll take care of that tomorrow. It can wait." No, that farmer grabs his gun. He goes out to the henhouse and he shoots the fox. The congregation is urged to contend earnestly for the faith. Jude is calling the church to a hard thing. If there has ever been a call to prayer, it is now. The Christian's fighting stance is on his knees. Beloved congregation, the Word of God is calling you to contend for the faith. And it's true. This is speaking to mom and dad. This is speaking to grandma and grandpa. But it's also speaking to the young people. It is also speaking to the boys and girls. This is your faith. The Word of God is calling you to contend for the faith. It is also speaking to you. You must immerse yourselves in the Word of God. You must take that seriously. You must prepare yourselves for battle. You go out into the world and you are faced with the images and the struggles you hear talk within the church. You must take your faith seriously. Meditate on the Word of God. Spend time every day on your knees in prayer with the God who hears you. You are not too young. It is not too early in life for you to take seriously your faith. God hears you, and you are His children. He has told you this when you were baptized into the faith. That baptism has a real meaning. You are the children of God. Take your faith seriously. You know, God is not a God of later on in life when I have time for Him. God is not, I'll get ready for this in my own time. God is a God of now. And whether you are 1 or 101, He is your God. Mom and Dad, teach your little ones to pray. Take prayer seriously in your lives. Do devotions together. Speak about the Word of God in your homes. Grandma and Grandpa, teach your grandchildren. Because the battle is real. Ephesians 6 verse 18 warns us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Jude is here writing of a faith that is handed down to the church directly from God. God has given His revelation to the church. This is just what Paul was writing concerning the Jews when he wrote in Romans 3 verse 2. To them were committed the very oracles of God. To them were given the very words of God. This is the Word that came to us in the flesh. This is the Word that was committed to the apostles. John 3 verse 34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give His Spirit by measure." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have seen other times, and we have seen when false teaching has crept in among us. And we have fought this. We have seen movements in the church that are not meant to build her up, but are meant to tear her down. This can happen again if we do not prepare ourselves, if we are not ready for the battle, if we get lazy and we allow these teachings to come in, it is even here among us now. The battle lines are drawn. The armies are gathering. Prepare for battle. Put on the whole armor of God, which is Jesus Christ. A soldier in the military must meet the requirements of shooting his service weapon once a year. If you're on the rifle team in the military, once a month at least you're shooting, and that person knows that weapon backwards and forwards. But for a Christian to pick up his weapon, to pick up the Word of God once a year, once a month, you are ready at this point, or you soon will be, become an undisciplined, undiscerning believer. We must be in that Word daily, drinking in that cool water which gives us life. The threat is real. We don't have a choice. We must fight by necessity. Jude in verse 4 informs the congregation why it is that they must contend for the faith. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Certain men have crept in unnoticed. Jude addresses the readers as dear friends. Dear friends. This is opposed to the people he is now speaking of, certain men. These are adversaries who have wormed their way into the church without being noticed. Jude, being a watchman on the gate, has seen the enemy, and he now sounds the alarm. Jude goes on and he describes these trespassers. These are men whom Christ himself spoke about in Matthew 7, verse 15, when he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jude says that these men were marked out long ago for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny our only Lord and God, our Lord Jesus Christ. How were these men marked out long ago for this condemnation? Brothers and sisters, these men did not possess the Spirit of Christ. Because of that, they did not understand God's grace. A child of God understands the true joy and freedom that are found only through obedience to God's holy law. God's grace is His loving forgiveness, which allows the repentant sinner to live in gratitude through obedience to His Redeemer. Christ said to us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." The unbeliever will never know this grace. So they continue to bind themselves tighter and tighter in the sin that envelops them. Paul said of these men in Titus 1 verse 16, "They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." For these men, anything goes. There is nothing morally wrong. There is nothing sexually forbidden. These are people who are found in many different churches. They push their own agendas. They push for things like allowing homosexuality to be viewed as a perfectly acceptable lifestyle. These are people who push views that they want the worship service to be a place where the world can feel comfortable, where the world can come and sit in the pews and feel like they are at home. These are men and women who are sitting in the pews. These men show how deeply they have ensnared themselves in their sin. And you would think that it couldn't get any worse than this. But Jude goes on from there and he says, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, these are men and women who are sitting in the pews. These are not children of the living God. These are children of the dead. They are children of their father, the devil. These are men and women who are in the church and yet have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. These are the marks of a heretic. First of all, they misunderstand the grace of our God. And ultimately, they misunderstand His Word. And then secondly, they deny Christ. Denial of Christ can come in many forms. When at work, people constantly take the name of God in vain. And one who says that they are Christian stands in the middle of that and never says a word. There is a denial of Christ. When a person takes liberties with his tongue, saying things that a Christian ought never say, and people know that man goes to church, there's a denial of Christ. When people go out in the world and they are afraid to dress modestly, they want to dress according to the styles of the world because they don't want people to know that they go to a Christian school, there is a denial of Christ. It's the motivation of the heart. But brothers and sisters, read these words. Don't miss what Jude is saying here. He says, these people pervert the grace of our God. They deny our Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that. He is our God. He is the one who stands up and protects us. He is our God. We may fail, but we turn in repentance to God because we recognize that He is the only road to salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. False teachers and those who follow them, they fashion gods to their own liking. We read in Psalm 115, verse 3 to 11, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They have feet, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. Look at what the word is saying as the psalmist describes an idol. What has eyes but can't see? What has ears but can't hear? A nose but can't smell? What has feet but can't walk? What has a throat and yet cannot speak? It's a corpse. A dead corpse. And those who follow them are like them. We are called to fight because there is a necessity to defend the church of Christ, to defend our faith. The church is Christ's beautiful bride. And any man that is married will defend his bride with his life. So it is with Christ. He defends His bride, and He defended His bride with His own life. We are the church militant. We have been given our orders for battle. We have been given our orders to defend the Word of God, to defend the bride of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we will not fail. God is on our side. And if God is on our side, who can be against us? The call has gone out. Christ is gathering His army. The battle rages on. There is a need for vigilance, an urgency to defend the faith and the church. The enemy is among us. Let us take up our battle stance upon our knees. pray earnestly. Know your weapon. Know the Word of God. Read it daily. It is Christ Jesus that will save your soul through faith and through the preaching of His Word. By knowing the truth of God's Word as preached in faithful Reformed churches, you will be able to spot the enemy a mile away. Christian, take comfort. The battle has already been won. The victory song is being sung, and you can hear it in the distance. Christ has won the victory. Our King rules from His holy throne. God has issued you a weapon to fight this battle. The Word of God. Know that God. Know that Word. And may He also give us strength and wisdom to persevere and fight through to the end. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our warrior King, we come before You as soldiers whom You have called to fight this battle. Lord, we stand in awe before You because we know that we do not do it in our own strength. We are weak and rely on You. We rely on Christ, who is our defense. It is only through Christ that we know salvation. Father, we ask that You give us strength to win the victory, to persevere till the end. Lord, stand with us and among us, and let us hear and obey Your word. We ask this in Your name. Amen.